In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus came through the midst of the region of the Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee, and they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
They brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, couldn't talk. And they brought this helpless man to Jesus. They were unafraid. They eagerly sought Jesus. They wanted this man to be touched by him, to hear him. They were not afraid like the children of Israel gathering around Mount Sinai, who beheld the glory of the ministry of condemnation there as the mountain shook and the cloud descended and there was lightning. The judgment of the law points the accusing finger at us. It proclaims the just condemnation and punishment that we deserve. And it was illustrated so vividly in the Old Testament that to even set foot on that mountain meant death. But they're unafraid to approach Jesus. They're eager to approach Jesus. They desire to approach Jesus and to bring their helpless friend to him. They brought to him one who is deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Who were these people who brought this man to the Lord Jesus? They were from those cities of the Decapolis who had heard Jesus preach the word, and they journeyed from those cities with their friend. If these people had not heard the Lord's word, they would not have known what St. Paul talks about as the glory of the ministry of righteousness, the glory of the gospel, the glory of him who in self-giving love laid down his life as a substitute for all of the people to reconcile them to God. If they hadn't heard the Lord's word, they would not have known the gifts of salvation. So they came. And they came to hear Jesus. And the faith that Jesus' word created in their hearts moved them in compassion for this deaf mute. Their heart broke open for him. They wanted him to hear Jesus too. But there was a problem. He was deaf. He couldn't hear the very word, which is the source of faith and life, the very word that bestows the gift of salvation. And because he was deaf, he couldn't speak. So they begged Jesus to put his hand on him. Surely the touch of the Son of God will bring a blessing to this man, even if he cannot hear Jesus' words. Or so they must have thought. Faith in Christ. Martin Luther says it is a busy and active thing. It doesn't need to be told what to do, because before it is even told, it goes out and does it. Such is the faith that is born of the ministry of the gospel, the ministry of the righteousness of Christ's forgiving word. I can think of so many people touched by this greater glory of the forgiving righteousness of Christ, brought Jesus to me with a word. Whether it was my mother or my father who brought me to baptism, or my pastors growing up, and you can think of the same, the people in your life who cared enough about you and who had been touched by the word of the love of Jesus that they brought you to hear him. I think of the fathers and the mothers who who are now with the Lord as I look out over the congregation. And I see that you are here because of their witness to you and because they brought you to the Lord Jesus. Pastor Christensen and I could tell you about professors at the seminary who spoke the word of the gospel with such eloquence and with such comfort that, like Luther, it inspired us to want to preach this same gospel. Be grateful to everyone in your life who has ever brought you to Jesus by bringing you here to the divine service, to Sunday school, to catechesis, those who brought you to baptism, to a Lutheran day school, those who confessed faith in Christ to you, not only by their words, but by their actions. We would know nothing of Christ or the ministry and glory of his righteousness apart from those who brought us to Jesus. God's word doesn't come from inside ourselves. God's word comes from outside our hearts. Then it enters into our hearts through the ear. And the word of God creates repentance, the acknowledgement of sin that flees from self to the Lord Jesus. And the word of God creates a living trust in Christ, the lover of our souls, who in compassion and mercy for us laid down his life that we might live. Paul said, the word is near you. It is in your heart and it is in your mouth. That is the word of faith that we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What a promise! So then he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We cannot be saved. We cannot believe. We cannot be forgiven. We cannot know the comfort of God's love in Christ Jesus apart from that word that comes from outside of ourselves. We cannot be comforted and at peace in the face of death. We cannot deal with the contention in the world or bear the cross of infirmity or persecution apart from the strength that God's word and spirit gives. Nor can we know that peace, the peace of sins forgiven, that we're reconciled to God, that peace which surpasses all understanding apart from the word of Christ. God's word does not come from outside ourselves. This takes us back to the deaf mute and to the great dilemma. He couldn't hear. He was deaf. He couldn't hear the very words that were necessary for him to hear so that faith in the heart would be created. What appears as an insurmountable physical handicap for this particular man actually illustrates the spiritual handicap that is indicative of all of us according to our fallen nature. None of us have ears to hear or hearts to believe. As the Catechism says, we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. The Holy Spirit must call us by the gospel. None of us can sustain our faith. None of us has the ability to hear. Faith is a miracle of the word of God. God's word opens deaf ears. It softens hardened hearts. It forgives sins. And it gives to you and to me and to those who receive it the comfort of the forgiveness of sins. And where there is fear and despair, there is hope and there is peace. Jesus' word communicates to us his love. And his word is so often coupled with wonderful physical gestures which call us to faith and draw us into the fellowship of God's people with our Lord and with one another. Look at what Jesus does. Look at the love that he bestows upon this man. Look at the tenderness and the compassion. Look at how he is not afraid to touch this man. In fact, I would argue it was his greatest joy to do so, to meet this man where he was, to give of himself to this man, to love this man, without counting the cost to himself or what that would mean for him. Jesus took him aside from the multitude, Mark records, put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephatha, be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and he spoke plainly. What Jesus did in the physical presence of this man, without counting the cost to himself, he does for you. By his word, he touches you. By his word, he loves you. By his word, he hides you from the dangers of life and shields you, interposing his very blood against the accusations of the ministry of condemnation in God's law. And he sets you free. By his word, he takes away all your fears and opens your mouth to sing. By his word, he joins you and me in the waters of holy baptism to his death and resurrection. And by his word, he declares you righteous. Fransman spoke of it in the opening hymn. He bespeaks us righteous because what we see in the miracle of the healing of the deaf mute is that the word is not simply information about something that God has done, but by his word, he forgives. By his word, he heals. By his word, he declares us righteous. By his word, he bestows on us the very blessings of salvation that Jesus won for us. Because we are physical, spiritual beings, our Lord comes to us in physical, spiritual ways. In today's gospel, he came to the deaf mute in his spittle. Spittle not only comes from the mouth, but spittle is a part of the transmission of the very words that we speak. We cannot help but think of the union of word and water in holy baptism. He came to this man in the touch of the man's ears, in the sighing to heaven, the word of God, be opened. The Son of God, who is spirit, became flesh and blood, conceived in Mary's womb, born in a manger, nailed to the cross for all our sins. Because you and I are physical, spiritual beings, he comes to us in words. Words that are joined to the physical, to the water, to the bread, to the wine, to the touch of our pastor's hand upon our forehead, the physical presence of the Lord Jesus in one another within the church, in the mutual conversation and consolation of Christian brothers and sisters, where the comforting word of the gospel takes shape in the lives of brothers and sisters in Christ who love you and who reach out to you with kindness and with words of mercy, forgiveness, and prayer. Faith in the body of Christ cannot live without being together around our Lord's pulpit, around the font, around the altar, within the body of Christ, the mutual conversation and consolation of Christian brothers. I want you to think with thanksgiving to God about the blessings that have come to our congregation over the last 2 years when, by the grace of God, the doors remained open. And for everyone who could come, we gathered here to hear the word, to receive Christ's body and blood, to be touched with his spittle without fear, to be comforted by the gospel, It bore fruit in the lives of his congregation and in the comfort that was bestowed. There are still those who are not yet worshiping with us here. Pray for them. Reach out for them in love and words of understanding and compassion, that they might be drawn back to the Lord Jesus, to hear and receive his word and his supper. Look at what he has done for you. He's gone to the cross for you. He has paid the ultimate price for your sins. He has reconciled you to the Father. He has given you the gift of eternal life. He has sanctified your office and calling as men and women and husbands and wives, as members of the body of Christ who are persecuted and who are under duress from a world hostile to the word. Do not be afraid. By his word, he gives everything to you. Christ alone our souls will feed. He is our meat and our drink indeed. Faith lives upon no other. And it is this Jesus who comes to us in simple words that bring eternal life. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.